Okay, then what we're going to get into our workforce panel. And this one specifically is going to be talking about addressing a population that perhaps we haven't considered before, kind of like we were talking about. So this conversation will be very important to when we enter that phase of our strategy of trying to garner net increase in workforce. So as you know, there are several untapped labor markets GAM will identify and explore throughout the implementation of its workforce strategy. However, one that must be considered is high school students, specifically seniors with no post-secondary plans. According to the Governor's Office of Student Achievement, over 67% of Georgia high school students in the class of 2017 enrolled in post-secondary education, with 20% going straight into the workforce. 5 years later, of that 67%, roughly 29% of students had dropped out of post-secondary education. For the class of 2017, this increased the percentage of students with no post-secondary credentials to 48%, 5 years after graduating. Here lie the questions. How can manufacturers connect with that 20% of high school seniors with no post-secondary plans? Question two, how can we capture those high school seniors that most likely won't finish their post-secondary credential? With us today are representatives from Newton County who will share with us the challenges and successes encountered as they began bridging the awareness gap between high school students and manufacturing. To begin our conversation, I would like to start by introducing our panelists. First, we have Asher Dozer, Vice President of Economic Development for Newton County Industrial Development Authority. In his role, Asher seeks to recruit economic development projects and support the existing industry through innovative partnerships. Additionally, he participates in regional efforts to prepare the local workforce for tomorrow's high-paying advanced jobs. Asher will share with us what prompted the Development Authority to get involved in workforce development, and specifically, why are they partnering with the local school system? Next, we have Bevetta Morton, Human Resources Business Partner for SRG Global, an automotive supplier located in Newton County. They're an active partner in the community, and today Bevetta is going to share with us SRG's reasoning for actively collaborating with the local community to connect with high school students, and also share the investments and commitments they had to guarantee to ensure this is a success. Last but certainly not least, we have Dr. Tim Smith, Director of CTA of Workforce Innovation for Newton County Schools. Tim has developed a passion for supporting students in the community by fostering intentional relationships and connections leading to sustainable success. Tim will share with us the challenges and successes Newton Schools experience exposing high school students to manufacturing and the support necessary from employers to facilitate a change in the perception of manufacturing. If you will, please join me in welcoming our panelists. Workforce. So, Asher, I'm actually going to begin with you, if you don't mind. So can you describe, why did you, one, get involved in workforce? It sounds, relative given your position, but why did y'all specifically look at targeting seniors with no post-secondary plans and the efforts made to move forward with that? What prompted that?
Yeah, so it was a little selfish as an office, honestly. You just gave the data. We have the same local data. There's more vacancies than there are people. Can't build houses fast enough. And we recognize that with that ghost data, ours is no different. About 30% of our students don't go to college. About another 30% will drop out without a credential. So it's how do we capture that workforce and get them in high-value, meaningful careers that also selfishly benefit who we are. We're an industrial development authority. Mm-hmm. I like for industrial projects to come to my town. I like for them to stay in my town. So it was a very selfish approach. But in looking at it, we also realized that at the end of the day, I'm in economic development. And there's a story to be told there as well. If we recruit, great companies, but our residents go to work at McDonald's and the neighboring county's residents work in our companies, then the true economic impact is felt for that neighboring county. They didn't give away the incentives. They didn't give away the tax abatements. But what they got was good-paying jobs going back to their local small downtown businesses to be spent through the trickle-down economy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a selfish goal at first, but what we quickly realized is, like, maybe we should re-envision what economic development is. And you got to get the companies because that's the carrot. But the real impact's made if you can get your residents into those jobs.
Well, and that's the, I think we have some site selection consultants in here, and workforce is always like the number one available workforce. It's always the number one issue when evaluating a community. So what gave you the idea to go partner with a school system? And Tim, were you like, were y'all, did this come naturally to you as well? Or was this just like, this is a great idea?
No, I think I've been in career in technical education for 24 years across a few different districts in Georgia. And before we even started this particular initiative that we'll focus on today, the relationship I had as a school system person with our economic development office is very unique. And it's unlike one that most communities have. My first week on the job, I was invited to come in and essentially sit through the deck that the economic development team gives when they have a potential company coming to town. And, you know, 20 years in, that's the first time anybody ever shared that with me. And I'm supposed to be preparing students for those kinds of careers. And so it was really refreshing. Asher and I have lunch, you know, once a week. Typically, we talk almost every day about things that are coming up. So it wasn't shocking to me that we have these conversations in Newton County. It was shocking when I got there because I had never been involved in the conversation. So I think that's sort of the secret sauce that we have in our community, is that Asher plays the liaison between places like SRG Global and the other companies, because I have relationships with them as well, but Asher, it's his job. And so he and I can bounce back and forth between those roles. And I'll say it wasn't always easy.
Tough conversation.
Because we speak education jargon and he speaks industry jargon. And sometimes those two don't align. The first day joke that the government didn't have any dips during the COVID problems. And I'm in that realm, right, the government. And so as we start talking about education and public schools and those kinds of things, we sometimes get in our feelings about those things. So there was a little bit of a growing pains as far as learning the languages back and forth. And, you know, I feel like we're sort of siblings. Most of the time we like each other, but every now and again we don't, right? And we kind of argue and fight and come to an agreement. But that's the nature of the business. And so I think, you know, it certainly is great to have, but it isn't an easy conversation. You've got to understand how to talk to each other and how to learn each other's language.
Well, so I'm glad you said that. So let's talk about the challenges and also the success that y'all were experiencing when you first started trying to expose high school students to manufacturing, and then kind of dovetailing that. How did you specifically target seniors with no post-secondary plans? Like, what tools did you use? I know there's Youth Science, which is a great assessment tool to hone in on that. But just share with us your process and just the trial and error you went through.
So, you know, we're a strong manufacturing community. We have, I don't know, how many, 20?
20-ish.
Probably 20 companies within 20 minutes of the school that I'm housed at. So we've always thought about manufacturing. We've had a manufacturing pathway, and we've done things in schools to try to promote that. But we aren't always getting the bang for the buck and the students in the pathways. So this most recent effort, we took a more targeted approach. So in the past, we've done things like, hey, let's invite classrooms through the Be Pro, Be Proud trailer. Let's invite classrooms on field trips. One of the other speakers talked about that too. But we weren't targeting the right kinds of students. So this time in particular, we looked at Youth Science data. So we pulled, we have college and career advisors in our schools, and they meet with seniors, and they know which ones are going off to four-year college, which ones aren't. So we pulled that list. We cross-referenced it with our Youth Science data that shows which students had aptitude in manufacturing and engineering related careers. And then we had a list, we had a target list. We know you don't want to go to college. We know you've got aptitude based on U-Science data on this kind of thing. Let's do some things with you. And so we invited those folks to start going on these industry tours. And we brought 80 students last spring through 7, 8, 9 different companies across a 3 or 4 week span, really targeting, hey, look, this is what you could be doing in June once you graduate. And then we did some other things with them in the background, helping them with resumes and interview skills and tips and things like that. And so that was helpful. I mean, it was 80 students, so it wasn't, you know, we have thousands of graduates in our district. But of those 80 students, 24 applied for careers, for jobs in those facilities. And of those 24, 14 are working right now in those facilities. And so that's 14 students that I think probably would have, you know, in August or September after they graduated went, well, I need to do something. And so we started that process before they graduated and really funneled them in. So I think that was a success. Mm-hmm. But we had to try some things before we got there, right? And so I think targeting the wrong students or casting a real broad net and bringing kids in that had no interest in those kinds of things mm-hmm. was a failure that we had to work through to get a more targeted approach.
Thank you, Tim. Go ahead, Asher.
I would add to that from my angle, the challenge is different because that's a very internal, like, logistical challenge. For us, it was really finding, I think, commonality in goals. And Tim and I both share a lot of the goals of, like, getting students into good careers. But as a development authority and as a school system, those goals aren't always shared. Where my goal may be to get, I view K-12 as the first step in workforce development. And their goals should be diploma or no diploma to graduate a student ready to have a successful career. The school system holistically doesn't always share that value. They often value, did they graduate or not? Who cares if they're ready for a job?
Yeah.
Are they going to college or not? If you go to most schools, you'll see a wall of acceptance or something on those lines. You don't see a wall of employment or anything along those lines. So sometimes it's finding an advocate inside the building who behind the curtain can advocate for what they see as good work also. And that was probably, to really get this ball rolling, I would say that was the hardest step, was to find allies. I mean, even in this process, I mean, the blowback I did get was from teachers saying, hey, we've got end of course tests coming up and you're taking these students out of my class every Friday and they're missing time in seats. And I'm my counter is, of course, well, they're not going to go to college anyway. Who cares what they make on end of course tests? But I'm trying to set them up for a good career.
Yeah.
Right? Like, who cares if they can know what the parabola says when I want to teach somebody how to make $50,000, $60,000 next year?
Exactly.
So it's finding an advocate behind the curtain to change or to influence the paradigm of the school system a little
crucial
bit.
Crucial conversations yeah. have to be had. So, Bavetta, tell me why SRG decided to get involved in this, and what was the response when, say, Asher and Tim first came to y'all about it?
Yeah. So after, you know, having conversations with Asher and finding out, you know, all the manufacturers that were in the area and where SRG sits, right around the corner, every corner, is another manufacturer. So we're all competing for the same work person. So mm-hmm. one of the things that was exciting to us is that we can tap into those students who are not going to college. So we were really excited but a little bit nervous about how we were going to attack that
yeah.
because it was brand new to us. And so one of the things, once we got involved, was really putting together a good strategy on how we were going to attack this. And so we had to really think open-minded and think about different alternatives. We would go to the schools when they would have career events and set up a table, mm-hmm. have our water bottles and our candy out, but that just wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. So what we had to do was basically spend a lot of time with the schools, partnering with the schools, involving ourselves with events that were mutually beneficial for SRG as well as the students. So what that looked like outside of just participating in the career events was really participating in the robotics program that the schools were offering, judging those programs, making sure that we had a presence within the schools to talk to those students, to let them know who SRG was, what we did, and also talk to them about the money that they could make with joining our manufacturer instead of going down the street to Taco Bell's or to McDonald's, but giving them other options and letting them know how they can truly advance their career without taking a post-college career. So.
I'll say three of those 14 are at SRG, and also the salutatorian of one of our high schools this year is not going to college. She's going to work for SRG. Yeah. Well, I don't know that they've hired her yet, but
yeah.
I think they will. But yeah. She's on that robotics team. Yeah. So once a month for the last 2 or 3 years of her career as a high school student, she's been interacting with SRG engineers, getting to know SRG as a company. And so when the number two person in the class decides, I'm not going to go to tech, I'm going to go to SRG, and then maybe I'll go through school. Mm-hmm. That says a lot, I think, about the relationship that's built with that student and the payoff.
So if I can, Bavetta, I really want our audience to hear, what do they need to commit to make a partnership like this a success? Like, what are the takeaways from a manufacturing perspective that you have to do? Like, I love that you mentioned just going attending the career events, putting out candy or what have you, or just doing mass high school student tours at manufacturing facilities isn't good enough, right? So can you speak to what that extra is?
The extra is time and really speaking to your leadership team, your operations managers, about how important it is to commit that time. So it's not just HR going out to the schools. We have a champion. Our engineering manager is always at the schools, interacting not just with the teachers, but with the students, sharing with them the great things that we're doing at SRG, talking about the robots that we have. It may seem simple, and it may not mean much to people who are working in the manufacturer, but when you're talking to a student who, with technology, talking about those robots, get them really excited. You have to engage in where they are. And we started to participate in letting the students come in and do tours. We didn't do that before. So it's a lot of time, a lot of time. It's a lot of looking at what your current policies are. We didn't have students coming in. We didn't allow other people to come in, just anybody to come in and tour our facility. But we had to look at, okay, what are our barriers? And what barriers can we move to allow these students to come and see what we have to offer them? And so we started doing those tours, and we would have 20 kids come through and talking to them about what we can offer, letting them see what we offered and how they can be engaged. We also looked at our job descriptions. If we're targeting these students, making sure our job descriptions were not going to cause a barrier. So we had if you wanted to have a production operator, they had to have 6 months of employment. And so if we're targeting high school students, we had to do away with that, because most of them are not going to have 6 months of employment. So we had to be really creative. But the bottom line is, you have to spend that time. It takes a lot of time and energy, but it is worth it. We did hire one student from the high school a couple years ago, maybe a year ago. And he did not go to college, but he was a high-performing student. And we started him out with $45,000 a year as a robotic junior engineer. And so it's a lot of potential. It's a lot of untapped opportunities that manufacturers can tap into by just, looking at those students that are not looking to go to college.
And, I will say, in the last, at least the last 3 to 5 years, because workforce is such an issue and there's so much time and investment that has to be involved, companies are now hiring directors of workforce development and workforce teams that solely focus on that. You know, Shaw Industries does that. I know Toyo Tires is doing that. To really have a team specifically dedicated on workforce development. So I really applaud that initiative and really encourage other manufacturers to consider that route, to devote the time and attention that it requires to facilitate such an effort. So you've identified the high school students, right? You know that cluster. What are the next steps you take? What's the next step of that exposing process?
Well, you or me?
It's probably going to be a different answer. So for me, it's all about scalability. This is incredible. The results have spoken for themselves, but the question is, how do you turn, you know, we have 2,000 graduating seniors every year. We know 600 to 700 won't go to college, 600 to 700 will fail out within the first 2 years. How do we turn 14 to 20 into 1,000 to 1,400? Mm-hmm. Logistically, how do you scale up more visits? How do you create more opportunity exposure? And ultimately, that's all it's about. I mean, Bavetta mentioned it, but it's like, she has a severe disadvantage. I mean, so we've recruited recently Rivian to the area, Archer to the area. It's easy to get families excited about these opportunities. They're new and they're sexy and they're fun. She's at a facility that's actually been in Covington since the early 60s, mm-hmm. one of our first industrial maintenance facilities. And let's be honest, manufacturing today isn't the manufacturing of our grandparents' era, right? It's a different concept. So we have students we're trying to convince to go work at SRG, and they go home. And granddad's like, no, I worked there when I was 20. There's no way you're working at what was then Covington Molding. Right? So there's a stigma to the older industries that we have to overcome. So it's how do you present the opportunities in a way that is honest, but also is changing that paradigm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the question was now. I just want to change it. I'll talk all day. I'm going to let Tim do that one.
Okay.
anyway, so for me, it's scalability is what's next. It's how do you take what we've done as a proof of concept to show well and make it a valuable and a true impact.
Gotcha.
Well, and I think if you put that into action, the idea of scalability, some things that we're trying is last year we targeted senior second semester. And so now we're looking at U-Science data of 8th and 9th graders and trying to figure out, okay, which of these, I mean, if you ask an 8th or a 9th grader, are you going to go to college? Usually they're going to say yes. So we're trying to find other ways, right? Like, what do we know about those 80 kids when they were in 8th or 9th grade? And what are the kinds of students that we ought to target and just say, hey, look, there's a world out there. And you've got to be really careful, right, not to track kids and pigeonhole them into that's a big no-no in the educational world. You all would love it, maybe, because it produces this track of workers, but in public education, we get slapped on the hand if we say, well, these kids should be manufacturing or these kids should be lawyers. They don't like that. So, but what we try to come up with, say, hey, look, there's opportunity. And that's what we talk about, fostering passion, creating opportunity, driving success of our students. And so our students only know what their family does for a living, who they see in the community. And in manufacturing, you know, it's not like you have a sales room that the kids walk through every Saturday afternoon. So that's a whole area that isn't known about. So we're doing some things with students in general to open those doors. And some of them are as early as elementary school with elementary robotics programs, elementary STEM programs. And we make those connections with robotics. We've got manufacturers that come in. You know, General Mills is in our community, so they'll come in and count Cheerios with students, but talk about General Mills and what they do. And moving up to, you know, ninth grade, we're trying to find those U-Science students who show aptitude in manufacturing and doing some special touch points with them. So the idea is that we're going to have a cohort of ninth graders that we do special things with once or twice a year as ninth graders, 10th graders, 11th graders. So then when they do those senior tours in 12th grade, it's not just, oh, we found you 2 months ago, come with us. It's remember this relationship we've been building with you and with Asher's office and with SRG and all of our other partners. And we feel like that's going to pay off, right? Again, it's a long, you're worried about tomorrow, so it's a longer play. But a lot of times our students surprise grown-ups, right? Like, like people always say, well, we wish, you know what we need? We need more of that vocational stuff when I was in school. It never went away. We've had career, technical, and ag education in Georgia for forever. It's evolved, and so there's no longer the hall where the shop classes are. We have shop classes. They look different. They've got robots in them. They've got CNC mills in them. They've got, you know, all kinds of good stuff. Mm-hmm. But trying to expose and connect that to what's next is super important. So being strategic about it instead of blanketed about it is the trick.